equanimity. And I like to add the creative to equanimity, because often I have a feeling when we think of equanimity, we think of something either we totally off the planet, and then nothing is going to bother us, but then I think that's the point, if we're off the planet. Or we see that something really heavy, like I must be equanimous, I must contain myself, I must stop myself. And personally, I would see this practice of creative equanimity as more kind of helping us to develop a certain attitude, or I would say a certain kind of grounding, kind of something which kind of helps us at different times. So not something that will impose on us, or not something which one day magically I will be equanimous forever after. So often it's like, you know, meditating on one day I'll be totally equanimous no matter what happens. But to see that something like a kind of a ritual, something that we can use as a tool, something which will be within us. But first, let's look, because again, equanimity, you have sentences and you actually have very different sentences. So I like to look a little bit at that first, kind of a little technical, and then I will bring my own sentences, which are quite different from the figure. So the first one, the first basic phrases, which date from way back, are: all living beings are owners of their actions. All living beings have their actions as their refuge. Whatever action they perform, for good or evil, to that they will fall heir. I don't know, personally I feel that sitting there saying that, I'm not sure it would make me be equanimous more, but seemingly it worked for people 2,500 years ago. Who knows? Who knows? So, unless you really want to discuss this in the discussion, I am not really going to discuss it. Okay, all beings, let's make it short, all beings own their actions, are owners of their actions. All beings have their actions as their refuge. Whatever action they perform, for good or evil, to that they will fall heir, 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 H-E-I-R. Hair. Yeah, you can say it, you know, it's not the rabbit, not the rabbit. And not the hair. So, basically, this is about karma. This is basically about the law of karma. They're basically saying, you know, cause and effect, you reap what you sow. Who knows? We could discuss it if you think we can go somewhere with a community with that. I'm happy to discuss it. So then, modern people have also had, like, you know, Jack Kornfield, Joseph Goldstein, they all have had trouble with the first one. So then, a new set of sentences, modern version, was created. I have trouble with those two. But let's see. Some people really like them. So, may we be undisturbed by the coming and going of events. I will care for you but cannot keep you from suffering. Not sure about that. I wish you happiness but cannot make your choices for you. So this is a very modern version. The first one, may we be undisturbed by the coming and going of events. That's very kind of like one of the ideas we had about equanimity. The next one is, I will care for you, but I cannot keep you from suffering, which is fair enough at one level, but I'm not sure if that's compassionate enough to me. And I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choice for you. So say, be equanimous when somebody makes a mistake. Again, I'm not totally sure about this version, but it works for some people. So stay there, if you want to have a look. And then another one of the phrases that often you have when you're using modern phrases is, may we all accept things as they are. You, I presume, have heard this sentence. See with things as they are. You're really upset, and your good friend is putting some education. Be with things as they are. I don't want to be with things as they are. So, let me give you my sentences, and then I'll go back to this be with things as they are. And my questioning of it. So my sentence is the one I would suggest for the afternoon, and I'll talk more about how to do that later, is the first one you can have two ways. May we accept things as they arise, or may we see and know things as they come to be. May I be stable, may I be balanced. Or you can have more creatively, that's a French style, no prayer. Creatively engaging with things as they arise, things balance, things change. So you have different perspectives. But I want to talk first about this thing, this leitmotiv that we hear a lot, be with things as they are. It can imply two different things. One, metaphysical, that there is a way things are, a magical way they are, and I must find it, and if I do, I'll become. We're not going to go there. If you want to go there in the discussion, that's fine. As I'm not a very metaphysical person, I'm not really the good person for that. The next one is be with things as they are, meaning, no matter how bad or terrible, no matter what, just be with things as they are. Which is a little passive interesting. Possibly not creative, though. It could be helpful for some people. But the thing with this thing, this leitmotiv, be with things as they are, is that actually, I thought it was a new age concept. Which had been tacked on to Buddhism. And then I realized that no. Goenka said it, used to say it all the time. If Goenka said it, it kind of has some traditional background. Goenka is dead now. He used to be a famous meditation practitioner. And so then I went back to the phrase and its written in the ancient language, which is yata bhutam yanya jatam. And actually, it does not say be with things as they are. Actually, that sentence means see and know things as they come to be. This is quite different. And that's what personally I think that this could be for a creative equanimity. And know things as they come to be. So basically, this is saying, instead of engaging with things, like often we fight with things, we want either things to be another way, or we don't want to be that way, or we often have this kind of like struggle. So of course, when we have this struggle, and we kind of like are comparing, or are judging, or are doing different things, then it makes sense to have this little kind of short version. But basically, this is saying actually see and know things as they come. And so basically, it's saying creatively engage with the conditions that you are going to encounter. So it's a very perpetual vision of things. It's not a static vision, it's not a passive vision. It's saying things come upon conditions. Conditions are impermanent, and so you never know, like for a while they can be stable. Conditions, inner conditions, outer conditions can be relatively stable for a little bit, and then suddenly they're going to be very unstable. and then they can be stable again. And so the thing is not to assume there will always be a stable or always be a stable, but is actually not assume. I think this is about no assumption. We're not assuming anything, but we bring this attitude of, oh, what's going on? That could be pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. How can I creatively engage with it? So then it's looking at a different aspect of it. Even instead of, often we have a tendency to fix on one aspect. And this is saying, look at the different aspects of this experience. Because you generally will have a tendency to pinpoint them once, to kind of fix in them. And so, basically, that's what I would say the passion aspect, the looking deeply, the inquiry is very much that. To actually really engage creatively with the condition. And I think if we are not equanimous, it's much harder to creatively engage with condition. And that's why in my framing, I put stability and balance. Because I think what equanimity seems to be about is about stability and about balance. So it's not about not feeling anything. It's not about being above everything or not being touched by anything. But it's how can I help myself so that when I encounter whatever condition arises, I can have enough stability, enough balance, that there can be a creative engagement. And so the equanimity part is looking at what is going to help me. What is it that's going to help me to be more stable? What is it that's going to help me to be more balanced? And personally, I would say that the meditation with visual is very much about that. But actually, by developing meditation, cultivating meditation, walking, sitting, lying down, standing, that could be formally or informally, we actually building stability and we building balance. Stability, I feel, comes along stability comes along from the anchoring, the concentration. I think if we look at what is it that is stabilizing, that's what is interesting. We have the same condition, let's say something a little difficult or problematic. And if I feel fine, if I feel relatively spacious, then these are for nothing. Okay, I'll handle it. And then if I feel terrible or whatever, I have not slept well, or I am stressed, or I am dizzy, oh, this is too much, I can't handle it. You know, when you have the same thing, you have the same condition. One of the conditions is the same, but the other conditions are not the same. So I think we have to be careful to think, if I do meditation enough, I will be above any condition whatsoever. I don't think this is what it is about. But it's more about dealing with our own conditions, that is in the body, in the mind, in the heart. More possibility in a way for stability and balance. So that we can become unbalanced, but then we might go back to it. We can become unstable, but we might go back to it. Instead of instability leading to more of that, or unbalance leading to more of that. But I think, of course, we're not trying to stay flat, so we go up and down and we'll have different experiences. But the question is, how long are we going to last? What are we going to do which will either amplify or exacerbate? I think this is an aspect of the community, what community is about. Is in a way non-exaggeration, non-exaggeration. So the thing happens, we encounter it, and in a way we remain with this condition as it is. often we exaggerate it, we amplify it, we magnify it in many different ways. And so part of the stability, what would help us in a way back to what will help us not amplify, not magnify, if we don't go in the tunnel, if we don't go in what I call the radar effect, when we kind of just, you see, it's interesting, often we think, as you might have experienced it today, oh, I can't concentrate in meditation, that's it, So often people say, oh, I can't concentrate. Meditation so silly, I can't concentrate. And I would tell you that you have an amazing ability to concentrate. But to concentrate is barely the difference. You know, when you concentrate on somebody and you cannot but think about that person or that event for days on end, that's the concentration. Because you're not focusing on anything else. And as soon as we do that, we magnify. So here we're talking about different kind of concentration. A concentration which actually is not going to narrow us down. So we're talking about a concentration which grounds us, which anchors us in something which is much more spiritual. So in a way to see that when we can have lots of food, but we come back, the coming back to the whole experience. Actually, as this strange effect of giving us stability and openness at the same time. Because we go back to the whole experience instead of sticking to one thing and then that mind coming back. So I think that's one of the things we can look at in some of the community. But I think often we think of, I must be a Kwanima. Which means I must stop myself from doing something often. Or why can't I be a Kwanima? I have meditated for 20 years, why can't I be a Kwanima? But I think that's not really, more the question is, how can I regain some stability? How can I regain some balance? What is it that's going to help me to feel? So one of the things that will help us is come back to the core experience. So coming back to the breath, coming back to the loving kindness, many different ways we can do that. So that we're not exhausted, that we can make a little bit. Another way also to bring back the balance is through the inquiry. And it's still very much the inquiry into the condition, but I would say even more the inquiry into the inquiry. Because we have such a tendency to dominate. And as I explained this morning, it's very natural. Something seems to be in place. And it's very hard for us not to imagine that this could not exist when it's existing. And so we make this kind of like, because I think that's our survival mechanism, you know, we make kind of like wrong inference. It's happening now, it's intense, and then it's going to continue. And if you continue what I'm saying, you can hear the inspiration. But that immediately kind of, in a way, magnifies because it's going to last a long time. Instead of, maybe this is one of the key practices in day life. When you experience whatever it is, to have that immediately going in the experience, how long is this going to last? How long is this feeling going to last? How long is this thought? How long is this experience going to last? So, to move from, it's always like this, it starts, to going inside the experience, I think that's part of the key. And so to have the idea that equanimity is to be above you, I think it's not going to help us. But instead, you see, equanimity is not being taken over so far. By the way, it's always like this. But going back to what is going on in this moment, in this experience, even though it might seem similar to a previous one, I would get the onion stuff. Onion stuff will really smell nice, but it's the proliferation they got. I mean, once they root it, they come in there. So I thought, I'm going to, you know, try it. And while doing it, with a certain enthusiasm, I did a movement which I'm not supposed to do. Position. And then, of course, I said, not of course, but it can happen. I got cancer. So, I thought, this is terrible. I should never bother. I should go to the instead, I know, okay, I'll go to the osteopath, I'll talk to the kid, I get better, and then I go back to the doctor, but I don't do that. Back to the doctor. So it's kind of, in a way, remembering. So I don't do often these gestures. I need most of the things. I don't do it often. And every time I do it often, I will get the pressure. So then I don't do it for 2 years. And then I talk to the doctor, then it comes again. So, of course, yes, it happens again. But every time it's not exactly the same. And every time it happens, if I do that really, then I can handle it. Because I see and know how things can be. Instead of kind of identifying or fighting or whatever. So it's kind of like, you see, it's kind of, that, yeah, there is a certain impermanence. But yes, there is a certain definition. So to go together, because often you talk about impermanence in Buddhism and then you think everything changes all the time. But then in the next minute, not going to be right. It's extremely unlikely. So, impermanence, but up to a point. So there is continuity and there is impermanence. And so how can we see and know creatively that impermanence? This is one of the main aspects. So not just to think of practicing, just being aware of the breath. Of course this is very difficult for stability. But I think for balance, I think really this kind of exploring that dimension. Not, I think we have to be careful of this idea of conditionality. We can talk more of this discussion. But one of the things with conditionality is that you might think, but then I need, before I do anything, I need to see and know all conditions. Which is not saying that. Because at any given moment, there are so many different conditions that we know. Often we can see quite a lot of it, sometimes we can see a little bit of it. So this is not saying, you know, I must stop and then I must, you know, kind of find every single condition that creates this. This is not what this is about. This is more about, can I know enough of the inner condition between the outer condition that I can creatively engage. This is really looking at that. This is kind of more like exploring. This is not kind of like using impermanence as a way to kind of, oh, that's like that, that's like that. But it's more using impermanence to kind of explore our existence. To see what is it that seems to be a little more permanent, what is it that seems to be more impermanent, more changing, less changing. And so to have that attitude. I think equanimity is not a state. I think often when I have this feeling, you know, suddenly the equanimity state is going to jump on us. You know, then I get my little cloud and I feel so good. Well, I think to me, this creative equanimity is actually the way we engage. But not, again, we have to be careful here, not in a self-conscious way that I have to observe myself every single minute so I know every single condition of what happens to the same degree. But it's more, I would say, a curiosity. To be curious have to look at in terms of equanimity, in terms of stability and balance, is what kind of stability I already have? What kind of balance I already have? It's not like we don't have any, we have some already. So we are different ones. Some people might be more physically stable and balanced. Some other people might have more physical, emotional stability and balance. Or some people have more mental stability and balance. Some people might have all three or few of them. So I think we have to see that there is different kinds of way we can be balanced and stable. And then to kind of like look at each aspect. Looking in terms of the physical. How do you think stable and balanced in my body? How does it feel? And to me, this is something actually we develop if we do meditation. In this kind of inner stability inside ourselves. That we can, if we feel suddenly feel a little agitated, we can still feel the agitation, but go to a place within ourselves. We can feel that stability, can feel that balance. That's often what I do. If I feel suddenly really something stressful or whatever, I can feel the, how it feels on the upper body. And then I go to the belly and in a way to bring space around that. Not to make it go, but so that I can be more stable and balanced with the agitation, with so in a way to see that we can do that physically. So each of us has to see in connection with our body, where we feel, what is it that helps us with it or not. We also have in terms of emotions. I mean, some emotions don't trigger us. They might trigger others. And then some emotions really trigger us. What triggers me is different. I'm much better than I used to be. And it's very interesting, so most of the time I'm very relaxed with a 20-minute meditation. And then, anytime it's just any bit of something left, and so that's interesting for me to look at that moment. See and know what happens then at that moment. But suddenly I my reaction is such a way is bad. Somebody might be here. Then there is a thought. The thought is the same. You know, we think about feeling and generally. And sometimes there is a certain train of thought or there is a certain word which triggers us. Immediately we lose stability or we lose kind of like. So it's kind of looking at that. What are the conditions that in a way seems to make me do this? And what are the conditions which bring back some stability, bring back some life? But it's the same also in terms of relationships. Because it's very interesting, you are with some people and really, actually they help your equanimity. I have a friend like that. If I am with him, anything, even if you're in a dangerous place, he's very kind of like very, very stable and balanced. You're always with him, and this is something also I think we can, you know, it's kind of like nearly like germs. We can spread it. You can be really, really agitated, then you agitate everybody around you. Or you can be really kind of bring this sense of the community, this little stability. thought for this afternoon we could work with the sentences. So if you want to work with the ancient sentences, that's fine, if you can remember them. If you have already used the modern sentences and want to continue that, this is fine. Otherwise, what I would personally recommend would be these three sentences I mentioned. So, again, there are various formulations. I'm a multi-choice teacher. Just to play around. So, seeing and knowing things as they come to me. Or, if you like the formulation, may I see and know things as they come to me. Or, may I accept things as they arrive. Then you have, may I be stable, may I be balanced, or be in balance. Then you can again do it in two ways. Either by using the sentences, which is totally fine, and there you just stay with yourself. Because you're not going to say, may you be equanimous at all times. This is very much equanimity. It's about that. And it's less about doing that for others. It's really about that. You know, to balance and stabilize. But you can also do it in terms of connecting to the experience. So, for example, if you use a phrase, may I accept things as they arise, or accepting things as they arise, what is it? So there's two ways to look at it. How does it feel to accept something? Can I experience some of that now? What is it I can accept now? Can I accept the heat? I accept the weather, the sound, the running, and I accept myself. So not going into thinking about it, but more about, can I add some acceptance in this moment? More experiential. Can I open myself into acceptance and just be with it? Work with the word acceptance, or you can of course work with the word seeing and knowing, or to be able to see and know in this moment, and also just trying to be aware of seeing in the moment. Then being stable, and when I be stable, is can I find experience and stability? How do you feel connected to that quality? It's not like 100% stability, but can I experience a little bit of stability now? How does it feel? Where do I feel it? So again, when I say where do I feel it, how do I feel it, I'm not talking psychologically, I'm really talking experientially in the body. May I be balanced or imbalanced? Again, how does it feel to be balanced? How can I be balanced? Just trying to be in that experience. Okay, so that's what I want to say. Thank you for letting me hear. So let's stand up first, to stretch the leg a little bit.